Good morning. Let's greet one another in the name of the Lord. Take a moment, another. What a nice crowd this morning. It's nice to have you here. Last 5 minutes it rained, so I think these are showers of blessings. We have a lot to celebrate. History of this church, we haven't, there's not that many times we celebrate. On one hand, I mean, we celebrate Easter and Christmas, and we celebrate Jesus and God's love for us and the gift of His Spirit. We do that every year. But as far as earthly dates and so forth, the original congregation, when they formed, that was probably a big date. And then when they built the church in 1929, that little house, a little church down the road, that was nice. And then Irene Long tells me that in the late 50s or early 60s, she went door to door. There were only two families worshiping. And she said, if we don't worship, if we don't keep the church going, they're going to close it. We're not going to have anything in Malmo. And so people started coming. Today I reminded her of how the many changes she saw. Irene, are you able to stand? If you can stand up, say hello to the people, okay? There you go. Irene's 97 years old. Anyway, this morning when we were talking, we shared a little bit of history, and she said, what's next? What's next? And she said, maybe we'll just have to wait for God to lead us and tell us what's next. But in 1996, the history's in this wonderful bulletin, by the way. Lived here, had the vision to the original building, and then in 2007... we added on fellowship wing and the education wing, and today, you know. So we. Oh, by the way, that church, the original church, was paid for in 2 years, and now this addition is—it's been 7 years. April 29th, I believe, we burned the mortgage, or we dedicated the building, and today we burned the mortgage. So there's maybe five or six dates like that are part of our history. We are a part of the long chain of things, part of many Christians who have been through this land. We have kept focused on Jesus, and that's been a great blessing, and let's continue to do that. I think the only thing that I need to announce is at the end of the service, they want the ushers to usher you out, okay? And then everyone's invited to stay for coffee and cake, so please do that. Let's begin our worship with a word of prayer. Our wonderful God, and you have blessed us in so many ways, and you've always led and guided us. You've always loved us. There have been times when we've headed different direction, but somehow you have brought us back to the path and forgiven us. And so allow us today to say thank you, and allow us today to rededicate ourselves to loving you and serving you. So bless our time together. Wife Becky to us today. Bless our fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to the words of welcome in your bulletins. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a day of rejoicing. We have come together to consecrate this building addition of Bethesda Lutheran Church of Malmo. Let us open our hearts and minds to receive God's word with faith. May our blessed communion, born of one baptism and nurtured at one table of the Lord, become one temple of the Holy Spirit as we gather in love. Please rise and let us join together in our opening hymn, Bind Us Together. Please turn to the liturgy of dedication. Brothers and sisters, we have come together to dedicate this church for the building up of the body of Christ. From this day forward, let it be a place for the proclaiming of the gospel through word and sacrament, a place that will bring life and hope to us and to this community. Let us pray. Direct us, O Lord, in all our doings with your grace, favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, obtain everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe. The heavens and earth cannot contain you, yet you are willing to make your home in human hearts. Accept us and this place to which we come to share with others the covenant you have made through holy baptism, to praise your name, to receive your forgiveness, to hear your word, and to be nourished by the body and blood of your Son. Be present always to guide and illuminate your people. And now, O God, visit us with your mercy and blessing as we burn this mortgage and move into the future. We dedicate this building to your glory and honor and to the service of all people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's join in the prayer of the day. Most High God, whom the heavens cannot contain, we give you thanks for the gifts of those who have built this house of prayer to your glory. We praise you for the fellowship of those who by their use will make it holy. And we pray that all who seek you here may find you and be filled with joy and peace through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated as we invite the choir to sing their praises. Did you able to tell that there were a few technical difficulties? How great is our God? What a wonderful tune. This time, we're receiving new members. Some people were able to get here. Some have been traveling. I'm going to invite whoever wants to join to come forward at this time. Dale, I know you're here. I haven't seen the others. Maybe we're going to install you. Come on up here. Come on up here. Oh, do you need a hand? There you go. Good. We're going to install you because you're special. Why don't you turn and face the congregation? Oh, good. You don't have to stand alone. I think I'll leave this alone. Yeah. How about if I go down here? Yeah. We got to get a picture of this. Yeah. Okay. This was actually the youngest group of new members we were receiving. You were the one who led it the other way. But you're 87, right, Dale?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you are a special man, and your spirit is as young as anybody I've ever met. So we've asked you to come forward at this time, not to stand as before an audience, but for a moment to take a central place in the midst of our congregation of which you're becoming a part. This is our way of celebrating your official uniting with us as fellow servants of Christ Jesus and co-members of Bethesda Church. Further, you're in our midst that all of us may have an opportunity to associate your name with your face, a vital step as we begin to include you in the development of our interpersonal relationships within the congregation, because it's in our relationships with one another as well as our shared faith, worship, and study that the life of this people of God is built. If we're to be the body of Christ in this place, it's highly important that we cultivate the real knowing of one another, that we might together share, support, strengthen, celebrate, and rejoice together. We know that you come to us from the Methodist Church. We know that you join us in the Romeos every Thursday morning. You're here every worship. You've become a part of us. But what happens now is for us to accept you and for you to more and more deepen your relationship with each of our congregation members. If this is just mutual acceptance, if it's just a ceremony, then it's not real and we'll not genuinely be the church together. So I'd like to outline some of the covenant that we're now entering. We have expectations of you. You have expectations of us as a congregation. What we expect of you is that in every way you will strive to become more and more a responsive, responsible member of Bethesda Church as you daily strive to become a more acceptable child of God. This means that we expect to find you at worship and at the Lord's table with us regularly and frequently, that you will avail yourself of certain of our educational programs, that you'll be open to involvement in our servant forms of ministry in and beyond the congregation, that you assume a leadership role when possible, and that you will set aside a responsible portion of your income for the financial support of our ministry in Malmo and beyond. What you might expect of us, your fellow members, is that we will provide you with every feasible opportunity for spiritual, personal, and social growth. To facilitate this, we will share with you all of our congregational resources, material, human, and divine. In your times of decision and stress, you might expect us to want to be with you. And in your times of celebration and joy, we would like to be with you as well. And from your pastor, you can expect sincere preaching, informed teaching, and always his willingness to listen and to share himself with you. So what we give you as our fellow members is our trust, and what we ask is your trust in return. And so understanding now the content of the covenant which we sealed together with your becoming a member with us, do you accept the invitation to membership and all of its implications? If so, say yes with the help of God and my fellow members. Yes?
Yes.
With the help of God?
You bet.
Thank you.
do with joy. You are now a full member of our church.
Wow.
You want to say a word or two?
Can I say something?
Sure.
You know this guy here? I stepped into this church on November 17th of last year, and the first guy I met was Wally, and he says, "I'm going to mug you." And I thought, boy, what am I getting into here? You
know? Yeah, Wally also has drug problems.
Oh, yeah?
No, his parents drugged him to church and drugged him to the relatives and drugged him all around.
Anyway, here he takes me over to the little table, and there's a mug with a whole lot of literature about the church. And that's where I first met. But anyway, I signed the directory, and it wasn't long after that this guy, Pastor Jim, called on me. I never looked at any other churches in Isle or Malmo, but you know, when I was a little kid, we were poor. So many of us were so poor way back when. But my ma would give me 3 cents. And I thought, where in the dickens did she get 3 cents? But anyway, it was a Lutheran church. And Pastor, I can't believe today I'm a member of a Lutheran church, because I swore the way that pastor said you're going to go to hell and all that, he scared me. You know.
And here you are today.
Yeah. And I always go back to that. I thought, boy, I'll never join a Lutheran church. But thank God you've accepted me, and hopefully I'll be a good part of this church.
You're already a good part of our church, Dale.
Okay.
Thanks.
Dale, we couldn't have had a more perfect day than accepting you as a member. Welcome. You are a joy. Okay, now to business. The first lesson today is from the book of Romans. In baptism, we were incorporated into the reality of Christ's death. Our lives in the present are marked and shaped by his crucifixion, just as our lives in the future will be marked and shaped by his resurrection. Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is free from sin. But if we who have died with Christ believe, we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Today's psalm is Psalm 23, which we will read responsively. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures
and leads me beside still
waters. You restore my soul, O Lord.
Guide me along the right path.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. You are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus speaking. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O men of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us sing Beautiful Savior.
Please be seated.
Lord be with you. Let us pray. Beautiful Savior, we give you thanks, for through you this entire creation was made. We give you thanks for this world, the glory of the earth. We give you thanks for each other, for the person sitting next to us, for our loved ones who have gone and who await us. We give you thanks for this congregation and its pastor, Jim Reisenen. We give you thanks for all the witnesses to the wonder of this world sitting here, and to our new member here as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Pastor, for asking me here. And I'll find the right spot to stand. It might be here. I hate that kind of stuff. Right? That's better. You are a wonder. Thank you. Well, the first thing that any Christian should tell any other Christian, the first and last word always, is that you are precious. That you are loved by God and honored by God, not just on your good days, but on your bad days as well. Not just on your faithful, strong, faithful days, but in those days when you have doubts. And by the way, it's okay to have doubts. Read the Bible. Jesus said at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, go into all the world, no, I'm just cutting to the chase here, and tell about me. Tell about God's love. And then it says, right afterwards, and they believed and doubted, the disciples. And he sent them off anyway. Lutherans don't believe we have to be perfect. This is a good word today for all of us. And they ain't no perfect Christians, let's be honest. And those that think that they are, they're trouble to be around. You know this. They wear at you. They make you weary because you know better. Because you know yourself and you know them too. But we always have to remind ourselves that wherever we are in the journey of faith, and it is a journey from beginning to end, we change, we develop new understandings of the world and of God and of this universe and our role in it. But wherever we are loved. We are gold to God. That's what I told the assembly back in May. You are precious to God. Remember that, always. Every day, if you do like me, you get up, you have a prayer, you make the sign of the cross, and you thank God that you are so precious to God. Because we live in a world, quite frankly, that is always evaluating you in one way or another, and in which you will never measure up. So whatever else we say, we must say, hey, you are gold to God. You are marvelously made and wonderful. And then secondly, you are also useful to God. Do not forget this. God created you, and God has work for you to do in this world. This is the whole baptismal thing in Romans chapter 6. Where Paul says, do you not know, Christian, that you have been joined to Jesus for life? That you have been joined to Christ in the holy sacrament of baptism, and you can't get out of it. Well, we don't want to get out of it, but we can't. Even if we wanted to, God would say, whenever you're done with your pout fest, you're still mine. I still have work for you to do. That's Romans 6. You've been joined to the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It's a holy mystery. So for the rest of your life, you have work to do. That's really important. Two ditches that Christians should avoid. One is to try to tame Jesus. Christians do this because Jesus is very odd, let's be honest. Jesus is out of the box. Jesus is over the top. He loves everybody, no exceptions. That's a little scary for some of us. Everybody? Everybody. No exceptions? No exceptions. That's a little frightening for people. It's the truth. It's the gospel. It's scandalous. And in fact, that's what Paul calls it. St. Paul calls it several times in the New Testament, scandalous. The Greek word is scandalon. He called, this is a scandal. And isn't it wonderful, he says, that God loves, yes, even you, with your issues, your doubts, your strengths, your weaknesses. So this is what I want to remind you of. Number one, you're precious and you're gold. Number two, God is not finished with you. There is work to do. And the psalm that Pastor wanted to have, both Psalm Romans 6 and also Matthew 10, they all kind of work together today. And just so that you know that clergy are educated and we read the Bible carefully. And the psalms, back in seminary, we learned are of three types. One is the orientation. The second one is the disorientation. And the third one is the reorientation. See, now you know that I went to seminary when I say these things. And really, all the psalms fit into that. The orientation. These are the good days. These are the days when the psalmist says, "Thank you, God, for this day alone. I am glad I was born. Everything is going well, and we feel good, and we want to give God praise." Am I right? Have you felt this in your life? There are days when you really are overcome with the goodness of this life. Thank God this happens often to me. I love life. I love this world. All of it. This is a gift from God that makes me love this. And so often I feel like the psalmists who write about orientation. But then there are difficult psalms. You've read them. For a while there, in our lectionaries, we excised the difficult psalms where the psalmist says, "I am so mad at you, God." They're there, lots of them. As a kid, I was protected from them. It wasn't until I went to seminary I realized there are a lot of people mad at God in the psalms. Because it's real life. That's what the Bible is. It's normal, ordinary life. So those are the psalms when things aren't going well. When you hear that your sister has cancer. When you hear that your brother has embezzled money. When your mother or father dies that you love so much unexpectedly. These are the disorienting parts of our life. And we are hurt. And by the way, hurt and anger are twins. I used to teach death, dying, and grief. They're twins. So especially for males, when we're hurt, what do? We get mad. Everybody does. Males show it a little more often. But these are moments when we have to honestly struggle with God, and it's okay to do that. And then there are the reorientation psalms when something bad has happened, God hasn't kept it from us, God doesn't stop speeding bullets or out-of-control cars, and something happens to us, but in the midst of it and out of it, something good can happen. But we're just talking real life here. This is the way life is, let's be honest. In Psalm 23, you have all three in one psalm. The psalmist starts out with something very wonderful. "Isn't it great? The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I want. I got it all." Well, there are days like that when I feel that way. If I should die tomorrow, I've told my wonderful wife here, it's been a good life. I'm so glad I was born, even if I don't get any more life. But then, in the middle of the psalm, things change. Suddenly, the placid waters that he talks about become what? Turbulent. I mean, at the beginning, it's still waters, and then in the middle, something happens. And he says it this way, "Though I walk in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And what the psalmist is telling us there is that God isn't going to protect you from every imaginable problem, every disaster. Something will come your way that you don't want. I say it this way to the confirmands. You like gravity? You like to ice skate? Oh, yeah. You like to dance? Oh, yeah. You got gravity. That means you might slip and fall and break your ankle someday. It's a package deal. You wouldn't want it any other way. You want to be able to do the wonderful things that your body wants to do? Good. Give God the praise. But just remember, you might slip on a cliff someday, too. That's gravity. God's not going to catch you. That's the middle of the psalm, see? "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." He doesn't say, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, nothing will happen to me." He doesn't say that. Scripture never says that. But then at the end, he says, even though, and we don't know what the psalmist went through. Did his brother die? Did his son die in a battle? Something happened, and that was the valley of the shadow of death. God didn't protect him from that. It happened. Just like something has happened in every one of your lives. The year after I was married, we've been married, it'll be 32 years now, Becky and I, this beautiful woman in the back. I married up, you'll notice. A year afterwards, Becky said to me, "What's that bump on your forehead?" I said, typical male, bump, there's no bump. There's a bump there. In karate years ago, I know I was a bonehead male. I hit my head, da-da-da-da-da. So a year goes by, and she says, "The bump looks like a horn. Are you becoming a unicorn?" Right here, it's coming out. I said, "Are you serious?" Because when it's yourself and it's slow, you don't notice it. It takes somebody from the outside. Anyway, long story short, in 1986, they took a huge tumor out of my head with 110 tentacles on my brain. And I've got screws up here in a great big plate. And a few years ago, two of the screws got loose, literally. And, yeah, this is a true story. Most of my skull is acrylic. It's not real skull. And then there were eight titanium screws. In the early days, there were something else. I couldn't get an x-ray because my head would pop off. So then the tumor came back 10 years later, and they opened it up, scraped off the tumor, and put new titanium screws in now. But in the process, two got loose, and he said, "You got to get those out. They're going to fall down here, and you'll have problems." So I got them out. Why didn't God protect me from that? In our humanness, and believe me, I said that. The night before my surgery, Bishop Chilstrom came down. Remember him? Great big, tall, Swedish guy. I loved that bishop. Put his great big farmer hand right on the tumor, and he came late after hours. They let him in because he had all his bling on, like I've got on, you know. And University of Minnesota, he comes up there. He says, "Tom, you cannot do anything about this. We are just going to trust God in the middle of the valley of the shadow of death." Honest man, as Christians must be, bad things happen to everybody. Tumors don't wait and ask if the person was good or bad, if the person was a good father or a bad father. They just invest your head. That's the way life is. Isn't it a good life? I'm so glad that God created a world in which wonderful things can happen, and which we also have to pay the price, that some bad things could happen as well. But in the midst of it, as the end of the psalm says, God is with us all the way. All the way. It's a wonderful life, tumor or not, for me. It could come back again anytime. I know this. I'm so glad I was born in spite of it. My father died at too young an age. I miss him terribly. He was assistant city attorney in Minneapolis. He retired and was dead in 2 months. I'm so glad I had my dad for as long as I had him. This is what the psalmist says. Not Joel Osteen or some of these health, wealth, and success stories. That's not what the Bible says. Bad things can happen, no matter what. And in the middle of it, guess who is with us? God, all the way. All the way. With new surprises, with new grace, with new strength. And when you find that your strength from your own human will and willpower is dried up, guess who's there for you? God, all the way. It's to be trusted. Now, I have to say a word about your pastor. I've known him for many years. He is one of the most marvelously connected, warm people I have ever met. Let's give him a hand, shall we? True. I preach every Sunday in a different congregation, every single Sunday, and I love it. I love our church. We are a wonderful mixed bag, we Lutherans, and we know it. We don't pretend that we're not sinners, but we also know we're saints. We're all wrapped up together in this. Jim is one of those pastors that nurtures as a shepherd should, pastorally, a congregation. He didn't know I was going to say any of this, and if I told him, he'd say, "Please don't say it," so I didn't tell him. But I ask you to honor the office of pastor here, as I do in every congregation I go as bishop. Yes, it says that I'm the chief shepherd of the synod. True. But then we have shepherds of every congregation, and I ask you to pray for and thank your pastor every time you see him for being a servant of Christ. We are all human. And we need that. And then do that for each other. And there's a lot of leaders here, too. I don't mean to just hold up the pastor. But no, the scriptures are clear that no matter what happens in life, God will never abandon us. Like in that passage I mentioned where the disciples believed and doubted. And then right afterwards he says, because he knows they doubt, he says, "And by the way, I will be with you always to what? The end of the world." And that's not just comforting, that's also a little scary. Because what he really means by that, in the Greek, the sense of that is, you will never not feel me urging you, pushing you, reminding you of how precious and important you are and how much work there is left in this world. One of the ways you honor a person is to say to that person, you're so important, I want you to work for me. And this is what God has done to you, using your gifts, your talents, and they're all different here, thank God. But you're honored by God when God says through Jesus, you're my partner in the ministry of the gospel. And don't worry about what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat and all these worries and things. It's a good world. God will take care of you. You might not get the mansion you want. Well, get over it. It's a wonderful world. You might not have the place on the lake you want. Oops, maybe you do. Get over it. It's a wonderful world. God loves you unconditionally. Now and to the end of the age and into the life to come, always. Can't get out of his love. That's the wonderful scandal of it all, see? Let me tell you about a lady who understands this. There was a very feisty lady a few years ago that I got to know. She owned a cabin up on Rainy Lake. None of you know where Rainy Lake is, I know. It's a gorgeous part of God's creation. It's way up there, isolated, you know. And I was serving as a pastor at First Lutheran Church, two Lutheran churches in International Falls, Zion and First. I was the Swedish one. That was the Norwegian one. Thank God we got over that. But anyway, I got a confirmand about 15 years ago by the name of Zach Wood. Zach Wood suffered from spinal bifida. Zach was probably the most well-loved kid in all of International Falls, despite the fact that he lived in a wheelchair and had to speak through a little hole up here. Because Zach Wood knew he was loved by God unconditionally. And everywhere he went, he made people feel that way. When Zach, and he became one of my confirmands, Zach was so well loved that even in junior high school, now males, think about how bonehead you and I were in junior high, and how cutting we could be, girls can be too, and how when anybody is different, they become marginalized and out to the side, and you wonder, what's wrong with that person? This is natural human tendency. But he was so well loved that even junior high boys would fight in the hallway to see who could push him into class next. Marvelous picture of the kingdom of God, see, where everyone's invited and no one is excluded for any reason. Well, when Zach was 10 years old, his dad got a phone call from this feisty lady I was telling you about. Zach's dad's name was Terry. His mother's name is Tammy. Tammy worked at the community college. Terry was a cop in town. So he gets this call, and the woman on the other end of the line says, "Is this the Wood residence?" And Terry says, "Who wants to know?" Because he's a cop, you know. You're very careful when you're a cop, you know. And his wife, Tammy, who knows Terry very well, she looks at him like, "Don't start." She says, "Give me the phone." So she takes the phone, and the woman said, "Boy, he was a grump." And she said, "Yes, this is his Ackwood residence." Terry gets on the other line. He wants to hear every word now, you know. And she says, "Do you have a son named Zach?" And Terry quickly looks at Tammy and says, "Cut it off." And she goes, "Yes, we do. We have a son named Zach. Does he have spinal bifida?" "Yes, he does." She said, "I happen to own a cabin on Rainy Lake that my husband and I lived in for years. We've been married almost 55 years, but something happened in the middle of our marriage." Now, I want you to think about Psalm 23. "Something happened in the middle of our wonderful marriage, and he became a quadriplegic and couldn't walk anymore. For half of our marriage, he's been in a wheelchair. I love that man so much, and I just lost him. He died. I thank God for him." You know what she said? "I thank God, even that he had that accident. I became closer to him after the accident than ever before. I've got a van. I could sell that to you for a good price." Terry says, "No." Now beware here. Not because he doesn't love his son Zach, but because if any of you have been involved in debilitating diseases that take all kinds of money, you know you never get out from underneath it. And all kinds of well-meaning people, thank God for them, have spaghetti dinners, and the Elks have it, and the Moose have it, and whatever animal club has it, and the church has it, but you still can't get out from under your bills. And he was weary. See, And Tammy says, well, we'd like to take a look at it. And Terry says, I got to be at work in an hour, so this better be a good deal. She says, you drive up, here's the fire number. So she's very vocal and blunt, member of one of the Lutheran churches in town. And they drive up there, and Terry's angry at Tammy. Why are you so nice with everyone? Do you know what kind of bills we have? And she said, why are you so angry all the time? This is a good life, despite what's happened to us. So they drive up there, and sure enough, they drive into this road, and cabin, just a cabin. You know, people say they have a cabin. I know they're lying. Most of the time when they say they have a cabin, it's like their third home, and it's a mansion. You know, I don't know where people work. They have all this money. They drive up there, and it's a mansion. And Terry says, oh, man, we'll never be able to afford it. But, you know, and he sees the van in the driveway, and he walks over, and it's fully compatible with someone in a wheelchair. It's state-of-the-art. And for a moment, he has a little tear in his eye, thinking about his son as he gets older and wants to have wheels. So she's down at the beach. She calls him down there. And she doesn't even turn around. She's looking out at beautiful Rainy Lake. Someday you should go there and see the beauty of this and be filled with gratitude to God for the wonder of this world. And while Terry and Tammy are standing behind, she says, isn't it beautiful? What? Says Terry. The lake, she says. Look what God made for us. My husband and I would come down here every single morning. And we'd have prayer, we'd have Bible study, and we'd thank God for the beauty of the day, even if it was raining. Now, think about what she had lived through with a husband for 20-some years that she had to lift, who she loved dearly, who she misses dearly. And she said, isn't it a wonderful world, Terry? He's thinking about his son and what's happened to him in life. And he says, about the van. Was there a price you were going to give me on the van? She said, oh, the van. She said, look at the trees, she says. Isn't it marvelous what God has made? Terry says, the trees. She said, of course the trees. Who do you think made them? Who gave you life, Terry? Isn't it marvelous? Should we pray right now and thank God? He goes, I have to get back to work. And Tammy's saying, but stop it. Be nice. And she says, does Zach like to fish? And Terry says, yeah. And he's looking at the state-of-the-art pontoon boat now with controls for handicapped people, see? And he's thinking about how he's carried his son, Zach, since the time he was 3, into their little 12-foot boat, and how he knows Zach is getting heavier year by year and how much more difficult it's going to be for him to do that. And so another tear appears in the other corner of his eye. He says, yeah, Zach loves to fish, but it's hard to get him out. She said, did you notice the pontoon boat? He said, yeah. He's still thinking money, see. Oh, what did Jesus say in our text? Consider the lilies of the field. You cannot serve God in what? Money. Mammon, money. You cannot serve God in money. She says, my husband and I used to go out here every single day, even when he was handicapped, every day that we could. And we'd fish, and sometimes we didn't get fish, but we'd laugh, we'd kiss, we loved each other. I miss him so much. Isn't it a beautiful world? I mean, she just kept repeating these wonderful things that the psalmist says at the end of Psalm 23, after he's been through the crap of life. See? She goes all the way through the psalm. Doesn't stop at the beginning when everything's rosy. Doesn't stop in the middle when bad things happen. They happen. She goes all the way to the end in the midst of whatever life brings her. And Terry said, I've got to go to work. What's the bottom line on the van? She says, take the van. He says, what? She said, you heard me. Have you not been listening? And then she starts quoting Bible verses. Freely God has given to us, freely we shall give. Now, Terry doesn't know what to say. He's been a jerk this whole time, see? He loves his son, don't get me wrong, but he's been a jerk to her. And she says, did you see the pontoon boat? Take the pontoon boat. He says, for free? She says, what have I been telling you?
Freely God has given. And then she's like a school marm, you know. She says, you finish it, Terry. Freely we shall what? Give? That's right, Terry. Freely we shall give. And I wonder if anybody here knows the rest of the story. By the way, the cabin was fully handicap accessible, ramps to everything. She says, take the cabin. And now Terry's on the ground crying. Tammy says, we'll take it. Did this woman serve God or money? Did this woman, was she in tune with Jesus, our Lord, our brother, our Savior, who is our guide to life? Or as the book of Hebrews says, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. She got it. She wasn't even polite, which is great. I mean, this is what Christians are. We are into Jesus' life, however we feel that day, see? What an example and a witness she was. Terry had an attitude adjustment, you might say, into Jesus. And at some point, I know she said something like, you go to Zion Lutheran, don't you, Terry? I mean, she was hard on him. You were baptized, weren't you? You were joined to Christ. So when we think about celebrating the number of years here, which is, by the way, I commend all of you. Some of you are in on some of the organization for this day of special recognition. Some of you maybe weren't. Thank God for those who came before you. They were the builders, the pioneers. Even if you don't know their names, just in your prayers tonight, thank God for them. And as you're thinking about celebrating the past, think about what you've been told today. You are in Christ right now. You have a job to do like the feisty lady. It will be different in your life. You have someone to make amends with, yes, tonight. I know you're good Lutherans and you love everybody, but you might have an out with somebody. I do. You might be like me, or you might need to be reminded. You've been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. These are not just words. This is a holy, mysterious reality in our life. So don't be overly concerned with what to wear, what to eat. Don't serve money. It's just money. That's all it is. It's to be used to the glory of God. You are gold. And gold is to be used, not kept somewhere, locked up where it can't bless anyone. Jesus has blessed you. You are precious. You bless others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop. This time we'll receive our morning offerings. While we do that, let's join in singing, Precious Lord, Take My Hand.
please rise. Let's join together in the offertory prayer. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life on Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let's join in the affirmation of faith together. We believe in God, who created all that exists and continues to recreate the lives of those who trust. We believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, whose purpose was to save a lost world, and who now works in us and others by the Holy Spirit. We believe that God is calling each of us to build up the body of Christ, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to stand against the power of injustice and prejudice, and to declare for all the world to hear, Jesus is risen, and we are his people. Thanks be to God. You can be seated for this moment. Our council chairperson is ill today. I'm going to ask Jerry Morris to come forward. He's our vice president. We are going to burn the mortgage. At the same time, we've got the bell that came up from the old church. Skip used to ring the bell at the old church. He hasn't done it here. But I heard the story the other day that Skip was there. It had the bell tower. And as he pulled on the chain one snowy winter day, a whole bunch of snow fell, and that's why his hair is white. Why don't you go out and ring it, and we're going to light the fire.
There we go.
I think we should clap. And there is truly holy smoke. Please rise and let us pray. Master Builder, if there be any beauty or splendor in this house, the glory of it belongs to you. For if you do not build the house, the builders build in vain. We believe it was you who blessed the labor of the many hands whose fine craftsmanship raised up this place for the shelter and service of your people. We thank you that you provided the vision, the strength, and the resources to raise up this house of worship, learning, praise, and prayer. Grant that in this holy and beautiful house, we and our descendants and our neighbors may worship you and serve you in peace. Lord, in your mercy. Sheltered by these sturdy walls and soaring roof, build us, your people, into a house of living stones. Remind us always that while buildings are made of concrete, wood, and glass, your church is made only of people. Protect us from becoming so proud and preoccupied with our beautiful building and happy fellowship that we neglect the work of the church, which is to worship, to witness, to care for the needy, to seek the lost, and to learn the obedience of faith. Grant that here we may develop the character and strength to bear your creative and redeeming word throughout the world beyond these doors. Lord, in your mercy. Let your spirit of wisdom beam upon this place, that those who teach and those who learn here may praise you with one voice. Bestow your blessing on all who will serve as ministers in this place, that their voices may ring with the power of your truth. Bless all who will make music in this place, that each voice and instrument may be tuned to the harmonies of your grace. Bless our study groups and grant us each a deep desire to learn from you, the Master. Inspire our worship, empower our prayer, deepen our compassion. Use us as you will. that all who pass through these doors will say, truly the Lord is in this place. To God be the glory. Let's join in singing the Lord's Prayer. Please be seated, and we'll invite the praise team to sing Grace Flows Down.
Actually, we're not singing Grace Flows Down. We're singing Mighty to Save.
There's a few pioneers. You know, my heart is with the music program in this church, and we should also recognize Doris Reinhardt, whose dancing group has brightened the lives of so many people in this community. Bob and Lee Krieger, Lee, who founded almost every music program at Bethesda. Hi, Lee. Darlene Christensen, who founded the praise team. And also on another note, I don't know if you can stand or not easily, Regina Johnson's here. She's our oldest living member, and she came from Barnum to be with us today. Hi, Regina. Unfortunately, our voices haven't been transposed.
He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus. has conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. Let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Mighty to save, He is mighty to save.
You.
Those of you who were on the building committee, the original building committee, if you could stand. Ron, you were here. Dougie, next to you. Mary. Dick. Yeah. Good. And also, any of you contractors that are here, or anybody else who had a hand? Anybody who came and painted and shoveled and swept, stand? Anyone who brought goodies? Yeah. All right. Now, thank you, by the way. Thank you a lot. Let's all rise. Let's turn to our words of blessing and commission on our last page. The popcorn promise of the Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in His grace. Amen. You are no longer strangers and aliens.
We are citizens of the saints and also members of our household.
You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. In Him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord.
Our spirits are being built together in the mother of Christ.
Go in peace, serve the Lord. Closing hymn is Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.